Hello, everybody. Welcome to Jill and Laleen Go Talk About with the lovely Fintan Cullen. I'm Jill Trebilcock.
And I'm Lurleen Hilliard. And tonight's show is going to be one totally out of this world because we have a really amazing special guest. Fintan Cullen is our guest for the evening. He's from Ireland. He's a world famous medium. He is a radio, TV, movie producer, documentaries, and he deals with the real paranormal, not just the little spooks that you think about. He deals with the real bad boys as well as the general spirits. So welcome, Fintan, to the show.
Thank you, and it's great to be on your show this evening.
Yeah, welcome, Fintan. We're very excited to have you here. Well, we know a few bad boys that we could use you with, that are living and dead, don't we, Laleen?
Quite a few.
Oh, Fintan, it's so exciting. So you're doing making a film, a series, are you, or is that a bit confusing?
Yeah, no, what I do basically is I'm trying to introduce to this side of the world proper paranormal TV shows for both here in Ireland and for the international market. Now, when people talk about paranormal, paranormal encompasses a whole wide range of things, from possessions to fairies to ghosts to a whole lot of UFOs, to a whole lot of different arenas. And a lot of people think paranormal is just about ghosts. It's not.
Right. That's true. It's anything that is not normal.
That's correct.
Yeah, perfect. I love fairies, Fintan. I've got a fairy fetish. But and I know a lot of people who've seen fairies and angels and things. Mm-hmm. And I have seen those things. And here we are in Ireland with it, and you've got a nice Irish accent, and you're talking about this TV series, though, is more about the haunted houses of Ireland.
Well, it's, excuse me, it is and it isn't. It's
great.
For contractual reasons, I can't go into it too much, Gillian, but what I will tell you about, and I'll touch on houses in a little bit, but what I will say to you about, an awful lot of people are misguided about fairies, okay? Now, fairies are extremely dangerous.
Right.
Fairies are not good things.
Oh, well, the ones I saw were all right. They're just having lunch, but they were about a foot tall. They were big. They're probably pixies or something.
Well, you see, the notion of fairies, right, what a fairy basically is a fairy can manifest itself into anything, into a cow, into... One of the common things they manifest themselves into are rabbits and hares.
Really?
Yeah, and there's places around the country, there are people from the country listening, not just from the country here in Ireland, but anywhere probably in Australia, Canada, or even America, will know that fairy rings, fairy forts, and fairy blessed areas are extremely controversial when it comes to touching them, moving them, or having anything got to do with them. There's an old Irish storyteller called Eddie Lenehan, and Eddie's a very famous, if anyone gets a chance to Google him, he would be what you would call an expert on the activity of fairies. And he actually stopped the Irish government from building a road, a bypass through a fairy fort somewhere in the country here in Ireland. And as a result, he was interviewed on a lot of the American TV stations. So anyone that wants to know anything about fairies and old stories, Eddie Lenehan can be found on the internet in relation to that, and it'll really open your eyes.
Okay.
One thing that I know Fintan deals a lot with is the real paranormal. And in that sense, I mean the ghosts, the spirits, the ones that are trapped, that can't move on. And some of them can be harmless within a home, but others can actually cause serious problems. They can really be destructive. They can be terrifying. And perhaps, Fintan, you can give us a bit of information on what people can do, or the different types of spirits that there are out there.
Sure. Basically, what malevolent spirits do is They latch on. You've got a lot. We've got a drink problem in Ireland. Okay, I'm not going to be. You know, I'm not going to go on about it. But we've got people in Ireland who've got major and everywhere else major problems with drink, and with depression. When a member has got a problem of a family with drink and depression, they're leaving themselves wide open for possession, for outside interference, and a lot of people will have an experience and they won't say it to anybody because they don't actually believe what they're going through. So the people themselves become enablers. And what happens is this type of encouragement is encouraged by a demon, a possession, or an entity for that person to keep them at their lowest point. So to drain their energy right down so as they can have control over that person or their belongings.
It's interesting. Look, I was thinking one way of looking at this might be to go back to the ancient times where, because there's always been stories about leprechauns and fairies in Ireland, haven't there?
Oh, yes.
Like people have been seeing them for a long time. So I was thinking to give it a bit more of a solid foundation, we might ask you about those roots a little bit more because the Irish are so rooted in their history. With fairies and goblins and all those sorts of things. And I know the Tibetans have a goblin.
Yeah.
And this Tibetan Lama saw one. We have a friend in common, Lurleen and I, called Niels. And he said a Tibetan Lama came over and he saw one of those little sort of gnome statues that people have in their garden.
Sure.
And he said, we have them in Tibet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so it's not, you know, fairies are all over the world.
Sorry, go.
Yeah, fairies are all over the world, but they're really prominent here in Ireland. I don't really know the reason why they're so prominent, but, you know, they're supposed to live under the ground. My belief is, okay, that they're an energy source, okay? And energy can show itself in any shape or form. You know,
yep.
Like prayer. People say, you have to be religious to pray. You don't. I think praying is a form of energy. If you want something badly enough and pray for it, and enough people are praying for it, it creates an energy so you're more likely to get a result. It's like fairies. It's like they certainly, they're very land orientated. They're very people orientated, but they're very, it's almost like, don't believe us and we'll see, you'll see what will happen to you. Farmers are extremely reluctant to talk about fairies. And yet, if you walk on their land and go to certain points in their land, there's a thing called turning the sod, okay? Where if a farmer is walking on his land and the sod gives underneath him, they say that hundreds of years ago, people used to bury their dead babies there.
Yes.
People that had children that nobody knew about would bury their children on a farmer's land or a disused land. And
yes,
the tradition states that if you turn your clothes, if you turn your jacket, certainly for starters, inside out when you walk on one of these pieces of ground that moves underneath you, that you're not going to have bad luck. And that's, to this day, farmers will certainly around the country, but certainly in the Meath and Louth areas, wouldn't have you make any form of mockery or you'd be given the door in no uncertain terms.
Yeah, because when you think about it, it's sort of like, well, I use the word mind. Other people call it soul or spirit. But anyway, it's like, you know, mind is like an or spirit or soul or a spirit or soul or mind, whatever you want to call it, is like eternal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and that pervades all beings, including ghosts.
Sure.
So I thought, I was just speaking to you in the pre-show chat and I said to you, do you think when people have haunted house tours like they had here in the town we live in, Dalesford, and I was saying, but that's cruelty to ghosts. Why would you take all the people to go and stare at ghosts in terms of doing ghost tours? And you had some opinions on that, Fintan. What were they?
Sure. Well, First of all, ghosts see us all the time. They're around us all the time. They're spirits and they're energy. So they see and hear us all the time. I think when you put something into an equation, which is very Americanized, not trying to alienate people listening in America, but they don't do these major ghost tours over here for a very good reason.
Well, I'm actually in Australia.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying for anyone that might be listening.
In Ireland, they don't do major ghost tours in Ireland.
For a very good reason, because it bestows bad luck upon you. And I think if somebody's going to go into either somebody's private residence, a public building, or a building that no longer belongs to anybody, what gives somebody the right to charge people money to come in and create a ghostly or benevolent activity or not? I don't think anybody has a right to do that. And I've been very disappointed over the last couple of years with some very well-known people like Chip Coffey, mm-hmm. who is Chip Coffey in America, and Derek Acora in the UK. Derek would be one of the really well-known TV personalities from the UK, and Chip Coffey from America. Now, I think these people are, yes, truly gifted. I believe they have the skills that they proclaim to have. I don't have any doubts whatsoever about that. But I think when a lot of stuff happens, when they're not doing TV, I think they're sort of dragged into these ghost tours. And it's not something that would ever interest me. I would never be interested in that. And if you think about it, you go into one building one night, you have one experience, go into it the next night and you've got a different experience. And I don't mean paranormal experience. You've got a different experience with the people that are your guide. You know, you've got people that you may or may not like. So, you know, ghost tours are, they're a bit of a joke, as far as I'm concerned, anyway. Not everybody would agree with me, but they are.
I think the problem with a lot of ghost tours and even some of the TV shows is that it's very hard for people to believe that there are actual entities there, because when you're paying for something, you expect to receive something in return. So I think it takes away the credibility of the fact that there are ghosts, there are spirits, there are good energies, there are bad energies out there. And by paying to go and see these, you actually, it's nearly like it's all false. It's not as real as it should be. And I was wondering, what is the worst, I suppose, spirit that you've had to deal with or paranormal experience that you've had personally?
Okay. The worst thing that I've had to deal with, it wasn't on TV. It was, mind you, there's been quite a bit of that. But certain entities and ghosts, if you like, follow certain families. And, you know, families with O in the name or Max in the name are generally followed by certain bad luck. And I remember being in a place called Ballymun in Dublin, in Ireland, to visit a friend. And he was actually had been asked went to see somebody else. We went in to see this other person, and this woman had said, "Oh, you're such and such." She knew all about me. I hadn't a clue who she was. I was really surprised. Basically, she had a child there and five or six other people in the room. And for a period of 7 or 8 hours, there was none of us were getting in or getting out of that room without her say so. And everything that you could ever conceive of took place there. The windows broke, the furniture was flung around the room, she had her friend try and attack me. I had an out-of-body experience. To this day, I haven't had one since, and I think that saved me from anything really dangerous that could have happened to me. It was horrendous. She was that confident at what she was doing that she was allowing people to go out and get the priest. So she allowed somebody to go out. They didn't go and get a priest. They went home. She then allowed somebody else to go out and go to the priest. Went to the priest, and the priest said, "That address, I'm not going over there, and I suggest you don't." It took me 8 hours to get my soul, my life, and my energy back. And this is from a woman in her mid-20s who was abused as a child. I don't know where her powers came from, but she had the ability to keep people in a room against their will, not able to get up, not able to move around, not even able to communicate. And there are people and forces like this in the world. It's there. You don't have to go into a crazy situation to come across this. There's people in people's families that have this ability. There's people in families that practice witchcraft. There's people who've got possession in their family who don't talk about it, which goes back generations. And I think a lot of schizophrenics, or a high percentage of them, are misdiagnosed. For instance, people that study schizophrenia, as in doctors, are now starting to bring paranormal investigators in to be part of the solution to the problems that they're finding with medication when the medication doesn't work. Now, that's saying interesting. Yeah. That's saying something.
That is saying something. I do know a Tibetan teacher and friend of mine, Lama Zopa Rinpoche, said eventually the West will catch up with the East and understand that schizophrenia does have a lot to do with demons.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
I think some people, think that if you want to be involved with the paranormal or you want to be... Stephen has just actually posted in the chat room, and I'll just ask this first before I forget. He just wants to know if it's the offspring paying for the ancestor's sins. So basically when a spirit or that comes along and is not very nice, okay. Is it because of the past or is it just bad luck?
It's interesting that Stephen should ask that. In Asian countries, they believe that is the case. They call them jinns. And they believe that that is the case. They can go back 8, 9, 10 generations. Believe it or not, a lot of it has got to do with what we today, we don't have any problem with. Somebody having a child out of wedlock is not a big problem these days. I don't think it should ever be. But hundreds of years ago, it was. And the demons used to see that as a way to sort of have a behold over somebody. So they would actually take a person and make them suffer for the sins of their ancestors that went before them. And that's something that's coming to light a lot more these days from watching Asian documentaries and from reading Asian stuff. But as a rule, people in Ireland and the UK and Europe don't really know that much because we're only discovering that now. But I believe, yes, I think is the answer to that question.
Sorry, okay. Julius.
No, go, Lorraine.
No, I was just going to say, I think one of the problems in Ireland and in Europe, more so than in the States and probably in Australia, is the fact that people don't actually believe in the paranormal. They think that it's a load of bullshit and that it's just people are making it up to either make good TV or, as you said, Fintan, to try and make money off it. But to those who have actually seen, who have been involved or have had things happen in the paranormal, it is the most horrifying and terrifying thing to happen, especially if it's something that's evil or demonic. And that's not, if people who are non-believers actually see this, they will become a believer very, very quickly.
Oh, they will.
I did have a really weird experience. Go on, Fintan. I was going to tell you just to validate you.
No, love to hear.
Oh, I just remember one day I was in this house in Umundi at the foot of Mount Umundi in Queensland with this woman. Look, it's a very long time ago. I was about 24. And we had this nut of a ghost. It was a big old Queenslander house. And we thought we knew who it was. Was running around the tops of the walls inside the room, around the whole room, right, the whole room, knocking like really hard like this on every wall, round and round and round the walls.
that's a poltergeist.
Oh, it was a poltergeist?
That's a poltergeist, yeah.
Yeah, it was just absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, well, we thought it was a poltergeist. Is a poltergeist an emanation of a person that's alive?
A poltergeist, to translate, I think it's a German thing, is a noisy ghost. So yes, it's basically somebody that has been alive. But now the thing about knocking and all this stuff, that's not always a bad sign. There's you know, I suppose to track back a little bit, knocking per se is just trying to get your attention. So right. Knocking or turn the lights on and off. If you've got water that starts,
yeah, he was doing that too. You're gone.
Now, it's dangerous if you get water switching on and off.
Yes. Okay.
That's more dangerous.
Why is that more dangerous?
Because it's supposed to be a sign of a demonic possession. Okay. When the water is involved. Nobody really knows why that is, but it seems to hold truth in a lot of investigations. The knocking is absolutely fine. Some people get absolutely terrified when they hear loud knocks.
Well, my friend was.
Yeah. Well, like, you can understand that. But, you know, yeah. You can actually turn around and say, okay, I've heard that, you know, can you do something else because you're boring me now, you know? And a lot of people say that, you know, that's trying to aggravate. It's not. It's like if you heard knocking going on around the clock, you'd want that to stop as well, you know? It's only common sense.
Yeah, well, the knocking went on for quite some time, but then we just did prayers. You know, we just did serious compassion. We just spoke to him and, you know, said, look, we really understand, you know, that you're suffering. And I sort of invoked the Buddhas like a Christian would invoke the Christians to sort of, you know, to teach him to be happy and just sort of talked him down, basically.
That would have worked, I'd imagine.
It did work, yeah.
You know why the real reason why that didn't go any further? When you've got love and compassion in your body, yes. And when you're able to explain that, even in thoughts, they know they're not going to get anywhere with you, and they know if they're you know a bad entity, a bad spirit, they know they're not going to get absolutely anywhere with you, especially if you're strong-willed. But yes. if you're in any way, not strong. That's what makes it very, very dangerous.
Fintan, well, I just wanted to ask you something because it's been posted in the chat room and I disagree with this, but I want to hear what you had to say. I know personally that if somebody is possessed, if they have a demonic, especially a demonic entity in them, they do not choose that. They have no choice in that. They do not choose to have a good entity or bad entity enter their body. That is chosen by this spirit. And some people are saying that no demonic spirit can enter after a clear soul. I totally disagree with that because I've actually seen what can happen. And I just wanted to hear what you thought about that as well, because you don't have a choice on spirits.
Sure. No, you don't. The only time that can happen is if you're practicing witchcraft,
yeah,
and you want possession to help you further your, if you sell your soul to the devil, to use a term, and it's interesting I'd really look at the mentality of someone who posted that question. If they're a member of the public, I would look at that very, very carefully. That always sends alarm signals to me. That's somebody who's, I'm going to say it, I don't care, because I never care during interviews, okay? Anyone that would make a statement like that is either, one, very ignorant, or two, just trying to push their own agenda. Because it's a bizarre question to ask. If I was to read between the lines on that question, Lorleen, what I would imagine is they're saying that people have a choice to be, you know, victimized and to be controlled. Who in their right mind wants that?
Exactly.
Well, in a way, I think it's a misunderstanding. I think what the person might be saying is, I have an example. I was chased by a demon once, and to cut a long story short, it lasted for about 2 hours, and another guy was too, and we both went our separate ways, and the demon latched onto me, and I thought, well, I'm just have to, the only thing I could think of was to turn myself, well, this all sounds pretty crazy, but anyway, I just decided that I'd breathe the demon in my heart and send it out in my nose and send it out my heart with mantras. And like there was a wild, wild storm. And so I just turned myself into a Buddha and I just breathed it in my nose and sent it out my heart with mantras, and the whole storm stopped and the whole thing was solved. And then then the next morning I went to the temple. I was a Buddhist nun at the time. Yeah. And the Lama looked at me. He was incredibly clairvoyant. And he said, bodhicitta is the best thing. You know, compassion is the best thing. Even when you're attacked by demons. And he was looking at me and smiling and nodding, because he must have, he was very clairvoyant, this guy. He said, your bodhicitta works. And that worked. It completely and utterly worked. And so it couldn't touch a pure soul, because I put my mind into a very pure state and I blessed it. And once again, it was compassion that overcame it. So I think when the person in chat said, no demon can touch a pure soul, I think that might be what they were saying, Fintan.
Okay. No, that's fine. I wasn't personally having a go with them, but one thing about me, Jill, is when I get a feel or a vibe for something, I was taught this by a very old lady a long, long time ago, is never stand upon ceremony. And that's one thing I never do, because in this lifetime, you get opportunities to say or stay quiet. Most of the population tend to stay quiet. And that's why we have the strife that we have in the world at the moment. It's nothing wrong to have good debate. Absolutely nothing wrong. But when it comes to paranormal, when people make a statement, it always gives me a particular feel in a certain direction that they're you know, they're coming from a certain angle. Now, there's nothing wrong with people wanting to know, but sometimes when people want to know, they want to know too much and learn too much too quickly, and they're not able for it. And that's happened to me. You know, I did Glasnevin Cemetery last year. I did a vigil in there, and the police arrived, and they just stood watching outside. And I was actually down in the tombs, and I was very respectful, and I was lighting candles. And one of the commissioners arrived at the gate and told the others to push off, and actually called me over and said, "We've been watching you on the cameras." And she said, "What you're doing," they said, "is fascinating everybody in headquarters." And I said, "Well, what I'm doing is I'm praying for some people," I said, "and I'm clearing the energy in the area." And she said, "Well," she said, "I have told those to go and leave you, and I'm going to leave you now." So, that was the most bizarre thing that's ever happened to me from the point of view of a state agent doing something like that. But I think the internet has a lot got to do with acceptance.
Yeah, I think one of the problems is... Yeah, like, I mean, Glasnevin Cemetery, to those that don't know it, would be one of the most famous cemeteries in Ireland. It has so many people that are hundreds of thousands of people there from the Phantom. There are a huge amount of unmarked baby graves, and parts of it are very, very magical. Very, very magical. Oh, yeah. But you can feel the sense of spirits when you walk into that cemetery. Now, in actual fact, that cemetery has recently, in the last couple of years, actually started to charge people for tours it, which I personally disagree with. But there is a huge amount of spirits down there.
Absolutely.
And they're not all nice.
No, they're not. And, you know, there's a story, if anyone wants to look it up on the internet, they say that there's 4.5 million people buried officially and unofficially in the cemetery. It's reputed to be the most famous cemetery in the world. It certainly can be the most peaceful if you're there at night time. It can be. during the day, you get all kinds of stuff going on, like people going in and putting flowers down and somebody coming in and taking the flowers and putting it on their own grave. So, like, it's a lot of bizarre activity goes on up there as well. But yeah, I think talking about children, children are more susceptible to anything paranormal, entity-wise, ghosts, spirits, you name it. Children are more susceptible to that. And if I could elaborate a bit for a minute here, children, you see, religion doesn't come into it with children because they haven't been taught anything. So you can be fat, black, white, yellow, orange, green. It doesn't make a difference. Kids will just interact with each other the way people should do. So I actually believe that religion can actually alienate people from each other. But the point I'm trying to make about children is children have developed their own language over the last couple of years. There's been studies done all over the place. Children, you'll find, I don't know whether anybody has noticed this, but if you pay a bit of attention, kids outside, young kids, I'm talking about 3 or 4, will start talking to each other in stuff that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And they say these are star children. These are their children that are born during a certain period and that are taken away at night time when they're asleep to be educated to further the better development of the world.
Yes.
Now,
I believe that.
It sounds very complicated and very bizarre, but it's not, because kids will come out and say something to you that'll blow your socks off. And you wonder, now, where did that come from?
Mm.
If it didn't come from you, where did it come from?
Mm. That's right. Well, absolutely. I have one of my children. I woke up one morning and came out the back door and said to me, "When I grow up, I'm going to go to Tibet, and I'm going to get Nepal, and I'm going to get a little white dog, and I'm going to call him Kun Druk or Kun Drukpa. Kun means loves all the people." And Druk or Drukpa means the best meditator, the strongest meditator. And it took me a while, but I eventually found out that even the Dalai Lama is called Kundun. I didn't know this at the time. None of that language happened because we live in isolation, you know, in a very isolated, you know, we live in the country in Victoria, Australia. And I went to some Tibetan friends of mine, and anyway, they didn't tell me because they thought I was making it up because it was so amazing. I eventually found a friend of mine, David Templeman, who's a Tibetologist, and I rang him up and I said, "David," you know, I told him the story, and he said, "The kid is completely right. Kundruk or Kundun, shortened to, means Buddha. Kun means compassion, and Drukpa means the Drukpas are the great meditators." And this is this 3-year-old standing on the back step telling me this, and you know, he picked it up in his dream state.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, now see the dream state that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right. The dream state apparently is where the child is having a dream. But it's actually not a dream. It turns into reality. There was one kid, I don't remember, I read this recently. There was one kid who was 6 who was, I don't know where he was. His mother was at something and the child said something and there was some doctor there and said, "What does that mean?" And the kid said what it was. And the doctor said, "I've heard that before." And he said, "Well, where did you learn that?" And he didn't know. So the doctor rang a professor friend of his on the phone. And the professor was talking to the mother and he asked him to ask him a whole load of questions. And the child was able to answer all this in the UK, was able to answer all these questions that this professor was asking. Now, this was latest news that this professor was only after learning himself. And when they asked the child where they know that, he said, "Oh, the people who come and take me away at night time, the classroom they brought me to, they taught me there."
Yes, yes. Well, this is what another. This happened to this son too. He went to a library in his dreams one night and learned an awful amount of stuff. But I don't really want to talk about my son. But he was very, very special. But he slept this extraordinary lot of dreams. Oh, well, I'm going to talk about him now. And he slept for 21 hours one day. And when he woke up, he said to me that he was touching his stomach, and he said, "This Buddha came to him, and all this," he said, "and all my energy zoomed out my body," and he touched just below his chest. And he said, "I went to this Buddha land and told me all these things that happened there, and it was really quite amazing. And I knew something was happening because he slept from 12 noon until 9 a.m. the next day, and I kept a really close eye on him." So, yeah, he definitely went to another space, and he definitely what people would call astral travel. Fintan, I really want to keep this solutions focused because a lot of people are very scared of ghosts.
Yeah.
And so let's talk, every time we talk about, and the people in chat don't seem to be enjoying it much. So we don't, there are only a few people in the entire world. You know, there's heaps and heaps of people all over the world listening to this. So let's talk about all the positive ways to, the fact that there are ghosts and spirits and all sorts of different things, and the best ways to deal with all of them. So, Lillian, you might have something to say in that regard, but Fintan, so what's the, you already touched on it before, sort of the magic solutions, and let's talk about that just a little bit more.
Sure, I can give you a different perspective.
Yeah, that'd be great.
There's a gentleman that I met recently called Lee David Carter, and he's got a book coming out at the end of this year, and he's got he had an awakening. He was born female, and he became a male 6 years ago. And during his operation, he had a whole lot of spiritual awakenings. Now, what he has learned is that we're on different planes, okay? And sometimes these planes cross over, okay? Sometimes people have passed and they don't realize that they've passed. Sometimes they've passed and they don't want to accept that they've passed. Sometimes they've passed and they're not happy with what's going on since they passed. So there are a lot of the reasons why people stay around. And they stay around people in a very spiritual sense. They will move things. They'll move your phone. They'll lose your car keys. They'll do all this stuff to get your attention. And the reality is very simple. If you want advice about anything, the best person to ask is somebody who's passed on. And in your mind or in your mind's eye, just ask for help or guidance. And you'll get in abundance the next day. You will get it in absolute abundance. And as regards ghosts, ghosts are not something to be afraid of. Entities, yes. Poltergeists and ghosts are, you know, they're all three different things.
Yes.
You know, ghosts remember where people.
I love that. Let's just repeat that. Ghosts were people, you know, like one day I will be a ghost for a short period of time, hopefully not long. I don't really want to be a ghost because I don't know if it's a very effective world to be living in, but ghosts are people too.
I have to say, Jill, I was very lucky to have the mother that I've had, and I'm not a mother's boy. I'm a realist, and I am most definitely one of the luckiest people that I know to have had the upbringing by the mother that I had, and how, what she taught me about what was good in life, what's right and wrong. And never a true statement did she make when she said, it's not the dead you need to be afraid of, it's the living.
That is so, so true. That is so true. That's just so true. It's absolutely true. I actually, I know some people who do graveyard practices where they go to the graveyards to feed the demons or the ghosts. Yeah. Pacifying, you know, they're called chert practitioners in Tibetan, and they said, look, in the end, you're more scared of the people than you are of the ghosts.
yeah,
it's true.
Well, it's the living that will do you harm. It's not the dead.
That's right.
And I mean, you know, we were speaking about children there. How many children have we all heard of in life? And it doesn't matter whether you believe in spirits or you don't, but children will have imaginary friends and they'll be sitting and they'll be playing with them, whether it's a little girl or it's a little boy. You know, so many children have these imaginary friends that we call imaginary. But in actual fact, a lot of them are spirits that the children can see because they have no fear. They're open to allowing everything in. But as adults, we put the barriers up. And what we don't know about, we don't want to be involved with. So ignorance sometimes is what prevents us from actually learning about what is going on out there.
True. And most of us are ignorant because we're learning every day. And sometimes when something comes up and slaps us right in the face, we choose to ignore it or make up an excuse for it.
Yeah, exactly. Or we find another reason.
Yeah.
I mean, we will always try and find something to try and explain a situation. But that's not always the situation. You're not always able to explain everything away. And there are things that happen in this world, and there are paranormal situations, and there are spirits. And it's only when you've actually had to see them or you've had something happen that you believe it.
That's right. In a lot of cases, Ireland being the type of country that it is and having the history and being quite old in comparison to the rest of the world, it's one of the countries where they get a lot of residual energy, which is something that it will be passed on from generations before. And in a lot of cases in private houses, they suffer with what's known as residual energy. It's like a recording, and it's probably boring everybody now that's listened to this before, but they probably know it inside out. It acts like a recording, and it just repeats itself over and over again. But,
The Tibetans call that Shegpa.
All right.
And it's scientifically proven. It's just that if I put a cup somewhere and then I move it to another place, the shed part of where the cup was still exists.
Wow.
Yeah. It's the same as if you want to bless a stream. You could dip an image of Jesus or Buddha or the cross or something in it 100,000 times, and that stream would become extremely blessed because of the shed part or a lake, you know, the shed part of the ornament, of the shape, of the holy shape.
That's great. They should do that with the Irish Parliament, though.
Yeah. But anyway, I took you off track, but I just wanted to validate what you were saying is also understood in ancient Tibetan traditions too, you were talking about residual energy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm. It's like we've got a place over here called Tara, and... Mm. For those that want to look it up on the internet, Tara is very, very old. It's a hill, and it's very, very old, and it's basically a very spiritual place. A lot of people from Brazil, well, from all over the world come here. They go in, and basically there's a name on what they have. I'm actually going to be down there in a couple of weeks to find out more about it, but there's a name on this thing that they have there, and people come and they sit around a fire and there's chanting and stuff going on. Yeah. And apparently, if you're a spiritual person or if somebody from the other side wants to help you because you're going through something, yes, that you eat and drink at this fire with all this chanting going on, and you were apparently you will see a loved one or somebody that means a lot to you if you need to see them. And apparently, a couple of weeks ago, Dorothy Shields, someday maybe you guys would have her on. She's a very spiritualist medium, and she's very old style. And she was down there with three ladies from Brazil, asked her to bring them down. And they were sitting there all around this fireplace, this big fire, open fire. And one of the girls didn't scream or anything. She just got up and put her arms out. And she said she wasn't told what went on there. She wanted to go around to the mythical places. So she was flabbergasted, and like was saying to her two Brazilian friends that she had seen her mother, who'd only passed 10 or 12 weeks before she came here. So
that's absolutely amazing, you know, because in I was just talking with somebody from People's Internet Radio about this yesterday. Tara, right? Which is Tara in Tibetan Buddhism, is a green deity, exactly a green Buddha, exactly a female. Well, she's almost a Buddha. She's a great, well, she's a Buddha. She Om Tari Tu Tari Ture Soha is her mantra, and it actually says release, release, release all beings from suffering. Sort of Soha means so be it, and yeah. It's a very popular children's and men's mantra to sort of get to know that intuitive inner side of yourself. Sure. And so they have it. They have Green Tara way over. They had it in Ireland and they had it in Tibet at the same time. And I know someone who's actually seen her in a tree in Australia. I think he was in Australia with another person. And she was just absolutely dancing and divine and beautiful. So I totally believe in Tara. And it's funny you brought up the name Tara, because Tara is like universally found all over the world, I imagine, but definitely in Ireland and in Tibet. And
absolutely.
In India.
Absolutely. They were trying to build roadways around it and close to it, but there's been a big, the people locally have just put a big stop on that, you know, because
it's a holy place.
Oh, very, very, very much so. And they've a little, tiny little cafe there. And the stories that the man could tell you about people that have come in there that have just been so amazed. These people that went in there to have something to eat before they went out into the and spend a couple of hours there and, yes. and were laughing and joking about it, came back into the place to try and get their senses together after what they'd seen.
I believe it. It was mind-changing. Yeah, they entered that more sort of, they opened to that spiritual thing. And holy places have those sorts of things, don't they? They have that presence, you know, that sort of, it's like almost walking into another dimension. And it is, it's another dimension of our own reality.
That's a great way of putting it, another dimension. That's exactly what it is. Speaking of dimensions, you're in Australia, okay?
Yes.
Australia has more dimensions, portholes in the world than anywhere else.
Oh,
for UFOs.
The right country. UFOs.
For UFOs, yeah. Then the next,
we have lots of UFOs here. Lots. Yeah. I've seen lots.
Mm. Yeah. The next one is Afghanistan, but Australia is apparently, Lee David Carter was actually telling me about Afghanistan and about Australia and what was found in Afghanistan, a 5,000-year-old spaceship that incidentally Obama, the Russian President Putin and the Chinese leader were all brought there on a whim, like literally told they had to be there because this old cave was discovered with a machine inside it, and when the experts looked at it, they deemed it was 5,000 years. It's been stuck in there for 5,000 years, and six of the troops that went in completely disappeared and have never been found since. And that was last summer.
Wow. Well, this is the thing. We're having these little petty wars at the moment, and we're fighting over points of literalism in the Quran, and that literalism should be updated and removed, the same as it has been ignored in Christianity, where it says stone your wife and kill your homosexuals and all the absolute crap it gets up with, and those great jokes that are going around on Facebook about Leviticus, got lost. Went to push another barrow for a second there, Fintan. What were you saying?
That's all right. There's no greater emotion, feeling, or energy than people that are listening to the show right now. People that have had experiences in their life put it aside because they don't want to talk about it or they don't know what it is. It's not something to be afraid of. None of that is anything to be afraid of. Let me give an example. 600 years ago, well, 300 years ago, if you said you're going to put something in the sky that weighed a couple of hundred ton and it was going to stay up there, you'd be committed. Okay?
Yes.
Now it's done every day. So it's the same, I look at it as the same theory. Just because we don't know something doesn't mean that it's not so.
Mm, absolutely. And I suppose this is why making films about the ultimate haunted houses, which is, what's the name of your website?
I can't discuss that, Jill.
Oh, okay. Well, I got that confused because I said to Lillian, can I discuss that in chat? But anyway, they can know your Facebook page, yes?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. No, I have a Facebook page. Basically, it's called Irish Paranormal News and News Worldwide.
Oh, that's right. You have a newspaper, Irish Paranormal News and News Worldwide. I was going to say, this is why, like, we've been talking a lot about lately about connecting with our roots and with our own mandalas. Our own universes, our own worlds, where we're actually situated, because in terms of New World Order and all the problems, we get so externally focused, whereas we're sort of been, I think that the important thing is to get your own self-empowerment, and part of that comes, you know, like in Ireland, because we've got a lot of people in Ireland with People's Internet Radio, because that's where it's situated.
Yeah.
But even though this does go across the world, so if you're in Mongolia, because there are people in Mongolia who listen, you know, to be in touch with your own roots and your own sort of nature and your own spirits, which brings us back to the beginning of the conversation too, and our own personal empowerment. So it's really nice to sort of to find that balance there because, like, what would you like to say, Fintan, about, you know, finding your own power and being in connection with your own roots?
Okay. I think a long time ago, I would have thought if I was asked that question, I wouldn't have been able to answer it. But since then, I think people, first of all, number one, have to be very, very true to themselves.
Yes.
So they have to be honest with who they are. They have to be honest with who they relate to and who they have in their lives. And I think if everybody looks after their own corner and understand that that's working well for them, and if they just expand on what they think is real and find out what is actually real, and then if they relate that to their friends around them, I think the world would be a much better place. So I think people simply have to be themselves. I've recently, at my late stage of life, I've started meditation, which I find absolutely brilliant. I should have done it years ago. It just allows me to slow down a little bit and be more productive. And it just makes me feel when I get up that nothing's wrong. Let's do something today to change something. Or at least let's make people see that there is a difference that can be made out there.
Absolutely. Lillian, you must have something to say, but I'll just say one more thing. And that is, because I want you to talk a little bit, Lillian, especially about Fintan's businesses.
And she said she's been trying, Jill.
Have you, Lillian? She said that she feels as though her mouth is glued shut.
Yep. It's like every time I try to speak, nothing's coming out. So that's why I'm very quiet. I don't know why. And yeah. Fintan knows me. I'd be friends with Fintan, so he knows this is not me at all.
Anyway, all right.
But for some reason, it's like I can't. Every time I try to say something, it's not coming out. I'm opening my mouth and nothing's coming out. So I'm really sorry.
So Fintan, what we're saying here is, Lillian, you have to try and remember to bring up Fintan's businesses. Fintan, you know, because you were telling me that, because we're coming towards the end of the hour, that Fintan's really involved with a lot of all his production companies and filmmaking companies and those things. Would you be able to remember them in a minute?
Yeah, I'll try. Fintan does a huge amount of work. He's probably better at promoting himself than I am, Adam, right now.
Yeah, basically what I do is I give opportunities to people that want to have finished work commissioned overseas. So basically I create opportunities for young filmmakers and young documentary makers. But my real passion is with missing people. I run a missing people Facebook page in Ireland called Missing People Psychic Eye. We've got 16 people a day go missing here in Ireland, which is a huge amount for this country. So I would spend I spend all of my time on that, and I'm so glad that I do. It needs to be done, and lucky enough, people all around the world get in touch with me and with other stuff as well. So I'm happy that's one thing I really focus on, to be honest.
Oh, that's so beautiful of you, Fintan. And there we are back to compassion again. So that's what I was going to say was, you know, one of the catchwords, particularly in psychology and in emotional health at the moment, is about authenticity. And you were just talking before about the importance of being sort of reflexive and knowing yourself. And for a while I was walking around going, what do people mean by this word authenticity? But basically, I sort of came to some sort of realization, you know, what is the authentic self? And you were sort of saying just recently you've come to realize what authenticity is. And that word authenticity, we use it again and again, don't we?
We do. And to me...
What is authenticity to you?
It just means being truthful and honest.
Yes. And that can be so hard to do. I remember years ago, my little sister told me, tell the truth fast.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to, don't you? You just have to blurt it out.
If it's true, say it and don't worry about it.
Yeah. You're very good at that. Stephen, how long have we got now?
You can go ahead and wrap it up.
Mm. So, Laleen, I think you better come and join in here. It is called Jill and Laleen Go Talk About.
I know. I'm going to blame Fenton on this one tonight.
Laleen, I love you. You're fantastic. Come on.
I don't know why. My mouth is like somebody has super glue on my mouth tonight. Every time I go to speak, what I want to say is not coming out. But I know Fenton's work. I know what he does is so genuine. I've seen it. And everybody's entitled to their own opinions and their own views on it. But it's only when you've actually had to deal with the paranormal, that then you can actually really say that it does exist or it doesn't. You can't judge it unless you know about it.
Sure.
That's right. And we have to love our paranormal, and that way it opens to us. You know, it's only when we have an open heart or an open mind, which is in reality the same thing when we're talking about the absolute essence of mind, that we get to realize, you know, our true selves and what's going on around us. And Fintan Cullen, you're an absolutely wonderful man. Thank you so much for coming on Jill and Laleen Go Talk About and People Internet Radio. And Stephen Roberts, thank you so much for having us. And Fintan, look forward to talking to you in the chat afterwards. And do you have a song to play, Stephen, cued?
Yes, I have the Alan Clark song, but we have to mute again. As you know.
Okay, and everybody look up Fintan Cullen if you want to be in film or radio, all sorts of things. He's big deal. Enjoy, everyone. Fintan, thank you so much for all your work.
Thank you.
Thank you.